Ladies and gentlemen, you have waited all week.
Yeah, Boogie Page. Throwing it down for Links BMX is ready. I know I am. Just hack the ATB Airways. Let's kick it. All things BMX. It's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if we need some info, they got the best. Like and subscribe, kick back and relax. And it's all things BMX. It's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if we need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe, kick back and relax. All things BMX are streaming to you. To post up on your couch, screencast your YouTube. It's gonna be fun, it will be a blast. You gotta do much, but kick back and relax. They come into you live from a studio, or they might be at the track, man, you never know. So don't go anywhere when my rounds are done, cause the show's just starting, let's have some fun. I said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show, unlike the rest. If you need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe, kick back and relax. I said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show, unlike the rest. If you need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe, kick back and relax. All things BMX got the boogeyman's back, so I wrote them this track to send some love back. JT, Melissa, Chris, and Paul, DJ Damon, can I get to entertain y'all? And I wonder who they'll have on the show as a guest. I bet someone good who's gonna impress. Guess I will just have to wait and see. Let's get the show going and start the party. Said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. Like and subscribe, get back with me. Said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. Like, subscribe, get back and relax.
Welcome to the All Things BMX Show Part 2. We're going to do it again, and this time, Xfinity.
Technically three.
Yeah, part three. You're right, Melissa.
Right, that is true.
We're made it to UCI round number three, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode 195, Gary's Got Talent. We're doing it again, and if I'm telling you right now, if Xfinity drops the ball tonight, I'm going to go down and punch some people in the face.
Oh, well, we don't have any bad weather, so... Hopefully we're good on that.
I reset the router earlier.
Did
you? Reset the computer earlier. I went and got different headphones. Changed my socks twice before the show.
Okay. Oh, shit. Wait, do you have your special underwear on?
I don't believe in that.
Well, you changed your socks.
I just don't believe in that at all. ATB's crew is coming to you from the Ethan Clark Studios here in the busy metropolis of Heartland, Michigan, where if you guys leave here after 9:30, the whole town's closed, ladies and gentlemen. Chris and I are coming to you from the Die Job Apparel News Desk. Die Job Apparel offers full design and production of custom apparel. You guys looking to elevate your brand, make sure you guys hit up Die Job. And you know what? The News Desk has news.
We got news.
We have news. This weekend at Ray's Mountain Bike Park in Cleveland. Waterford Oaks versus Akron BMX. It's going down.
All right.
It's a slobber knocker. Get on down there. Make sure you guys bring your pump track team. Be ready for some racing action at Ray's Mountain Bike Park. We're going to put the link in the chat. We'll have it in the show notes. It's going to be a good time this weekend. It's Sunday.
Sweet.
So you can drink green beer. Be double fisting like Chris is right now. He just doesn't have beer. He's over there drinking Monster and... Do that
water.
Again. Please do that again. Do it again. It's going to be a screenshot forever.
Nope.
Danger Snack brings us our guest this week. You guys, Danger Snack is the snack. It's the difference between dragon ass and hauling ass.
Oh, we got
Melissa
some of them right here.
Is back at the Gate 9 producers perch. Melissa, how's it going?
Oh, just hanging out with the twins here.
What?
Oh,
you two are
not those twins,
way.
Chris. Get your mind out of the gutter.
What
good lord.
About?
He is on fire tonight.
Kid. I'm talking about the two of you, but clearly.
Hey, these are our all things BMX show. What, swag?
I'm feeling left out.
I think it's a t-shirt. Right?
Merch.
Merch. There it is.
That's
merch.
I didn't choose to put mine on, so I feel left out.
Next week.
Well, the three of us were the biggest spenders on the whole merch thing. Nobody else bought anything.
We do have our chat question tonight, and it's brought to you by BMX Rocks Photography. It is. Who is your elite male pick to win the Olympics? Do you got one, Chris? Ooh.
You know,
I know we've talked.
I want to say Jorce, but I know he just got hurt, and I'm not sure exactly. I know he had like a broken collarbone. I don't know if he's going to be
debatable
back quick enough for that.
For the Olympics?
Kinnaman.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You know, I usually try to go with, you know, not the obvious person. So, but he would be the one I would think would, yeah.
Well, yeah. Melissa, you got a pick?
I don't.
All right, we'll circle back to you. I'm going with Roman
Mayhew. Next week,
Mayhew.
Maybe.
Tonight's Lightning Round is brought to you by 110 Nutrition. You guys get over for the best in the supplement industry. Make sure you guys go check out 110 Nutrition, and you can use our discount code at 110 Nutrition at all things BMX. And when you guys are ordering from Danger Snacks, make sure to use the discount code SHITSHOW. That'll get you a discount. Our show doesn't happen without the support of the following companies. Please make sure when you guys are looking for your BMX needs, you shop these companies. You get over to Ghetto Wear. You guys can get some cool swag. He just sent us a picture of some more stuff that's in the mail for us. The Hack Shack. If you guys are looking to get a Hack Shack.
Side hack.
A side hack. I got to reboot. A side hack built. Homie Mike will make you one. If you guys need bikes and parts and supply right there, hit up the Hack Shack. DB Sports World out in New York. BMX Race Supplies and the good folks over at Mega Design. If you guys are looking for tents and canopies, feather flags and all that stuff, all the links are in our show notes.
Check them out.
Take it away, Chris. I got an ultra control delete.
Okay. All right. Take a break for a second there, JT. We're all good. Gary, welcome into the show. Thanks for joining us. We'll see if we can pull this thing off this time without the internet dying on us.
So. Yeah, what kind of sign was that?
Right?
Well, I felt so bad for you, Justin. You were scrambling, trying to make something happen. And I was like, oh, dude, you're so stressed out. No. Let's just do this later.
Right.
Well, when you figured out,
if you would have got it that night, if it would have started happening, I mean, you were so frazzled. I know you're trying so hard, you know?
Then to come find out it was just all on the, you know, cable provider. There is an issue here. It wasn't until probably the middle of the next day they got it fixed, but we're good now. Everything's good to rock and roll.
Everything's been running swell now.
We left off. We were talking about some of the shows you've been in and things like that. So if you want to pick up where we dropped off once or twice on the last show, please do.
Once or twice.
Okay. And we'll get in. Try and do that. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get in. And man, if you guys got questions, comments, get them in the chat. Let's fire that chat up. Yeah. Let's get those questions in there.
If you have
all right?
any questions, get them in there. Cause we'd love to have that interaction with the audience. So get your questions in the chat. I know we talked about the King of Vert back in 87. We also talked about America's Got Talent. And then you were doing some residency type stuff in Vegas, doing some shows out there.
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty much my life was shows. I mean, I was chasing them everywhere I could get it. And you know, they were kind of few and far apart sometimes, but then, I think I'm jumping ahead again already.
Where?
Well, what really changed was when I was chasing shows, looking for school shows and things like that, like the drug awareness shows for school kids.
Sure.
I had a job as a laundry sorter at the Hilton Hotel. I was sorting through bed sheets and pillowcases and all kinds of stuff. It was pretty gross, but you know, it was a job. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
But still riding, you know, like this. Like the job was actually pretty cool for my riding because I would go in. At what time? I'm at 3 o'clock in the morning and get off at like 11 in the morning. And then I'd have all day to ride. It actually worked out really well. So I was able to keep up on my skills as much as I could. But you were just talked about the King of Verts. Yeah, I was doing those whenever I could, if they're anywhere on the west side of the country. And like I said, I've always done pretty well at those things and they were fun, man. I just really enjoyed them. I think I did like 87 was my first King of Vert, and then I did 88. That's when I got second behind Matt Hoffman. So that was a pretty fun one.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Then 89, I moved to San Diego, and I was really trying hard, you know, practicing because there was like two or three ramps to ride. I had some good choices, but the best I could do was third on that one. And I also started riding with free agent again by that time. Yvonne let me build the frames in the factory. Yeah. And then 1990.
Were you building a custom frame or just making the frames?
Yeah, because Frieza didn't have a freestyle bike anymore. Mm-hmm. And so what I did, I took the pro frame and put thicker tubing on the down tube, doubled up on the dropouts, just made the frame a lot stronger.
Okay.
And also put a frame stander, because when I did turndowns, my foot would kind of creep over the seat post and that throw me off the bike coming out of it. So I'd put like a frame stander, keep my foot from doing that. And she let me build whatever I wanted. It was great.
That's awesome.
90, I still ride for Free Agent, and I got second in that contest behind Dave Mira. Yeah, so that was another fun one.
Wow.
And 91, I'm back on Mongoose. Free Agent kind of dropped out, and it just wasn't happening anymore. And in 91, I wound up getting a Mongoose deal from Travis Chippers. So he hooked me up big time. It was great. And I got third in that one behind John Parker and – oh, no, I'm sorry, not John Parker. John Parker and John Pieces. And then, let's see. I don't think there was a contest in 92. No, there wasn't. So 93, by then there was the Hoffman contest. I think I got – second behind Parker. I did two of those. That's the first time I ever did two contests in a year. It was 93 because we were on our way to Tennessee to do a show, you know, a fair. And so we're able to go to the finals in Oklahoma, in Tulsa, no, Oklahoma City, Edmond, whatever, wherever Matt Hoffman lived at the time. Yeah. So I got second in the series too. So that was pretty cool. Then I did a King of Dirt. After that, I don't know what place I got. I don't remember. But I tried a backflip for the first time without ever trying it in a lake or foam or anything. Nothing.
Really?
I tried it. I don't know why I thought I could do it, because I just got through learning them on trampolines or, you know, getting them pretty down, because I was working at SeaWorld with a bunch of acrobats and they were helping me with backflips and the mechanic on me so I could do double backflips on a trampoline. So I thought, okay, if I just, you know, loop out, I'll find it, you know. So I tried it, and I chickened out, man. Guybee's got a good picture of it somewhere on the internet, just me bailing out. And I remember landing on my back, right in the middle of the top of my back, and everything inside, like made this horrible noise. Feeling that I thought, oh, dear God, oh, no, what did I do? And I got up, and I was feeling better than fine. I was like, wow, okay, that was lucky. I'm gonna try that again.
It's almost like going to the chiropractor and getting an adjustment.
Yeah, it was seriously was. It was one of those good adjustments. And then a few days later, Hoffman did the first flip on vert in Europe or something. So it was real. I was really close to trying it. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And then after that, we already told the story, the Gork story. That was '93 mm-hmm. when I did the backflip at the BMX race. But I actually, I don't know if I want to bring this up. Damn it.
So first question for you.
Your discretion.
When you were talking, you know, the King of Dirt, those were contests that were at the tracks, right?
Yeah. ABA or at the time ABA ran those. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cause I mean, it's been a minute, you know, like there's probably a big chunk of people that race that didn't even realize they had dirt jumping contests.
At
races, yeah.
Really?
Well, no, I wasn't that primitive. By then, it was already, you know, like Fuzzy Hall and and Bud Lyons and some rad dudes, you know, like from S&M. You know, of course, Climber. So it was already kind of specialized. I mean, the true jumpers were already doing those contests. It wasn't like a bunch of knack-knacks, you know? Yeah. But, so those were – but anyway, those are – fun contest, you know, because ABA was kind of sprouting out, trying to do something, something rad, you know, as entertainment between, you know, motos.
Gosh, you think those ought to come back?
Not sure. At the time, I think it was a good idea because it was new.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But now, everybody's seen it, I guess. And
yeah,
whatever you bring there now isn't going to be, you know, like X Games level. But maybe it would. I don't know. But I know they were doing it like a jump session in between motos at the NAG 5 challenges. And those were cool, but they weren't like a, people weren't dropping what they were doing to go watch it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. They wanted to see who was about to win something. So, but I was getting at this, the Gork story, the 93 Gork story.
Because
I'm not going to tell the story again. I mean, go back to the last episode. It was on there. Todd Lyons was involved. He, of course, is credited with doing the first backflip in a race at that track, at that BMX event. But I've been completely ignored, I guess, for doing the first backflip at the BMX races. But it wasn't in a race. I was just practicing. I didn't even have a membership. But I did it in pro practice. And then Todd did it after me in pro practice because he saw me do it because he was eyeing up the jump as well. He told me this later on. And yeah, I was looking at the jump, and then he went and did it. It's like, damn it. So he ran up to the staging and did it himself. But I'll be honest, he did it bigger and better than I did. The wild man, dude.
Right. I was going to say, that's why they call him the wild man.
Whenever he posts on the internet, on Facebook, about anybody remember who won this race? Me neither, you know, because he did a flip during the race. I don't know. I guess I'm a little bummed that I don't get mentioned for doing it before everybody. Right. Because I did it in traffic, you know, I did it through people, and he did it in a race. So I, you know, who did it first? I don't know. He did it in a race first. I did it on the track.
There you go.
Good enough. Yeah. Yeah. Gosh. So after that, I got a deal with Specialized Bicycles. You know, the mountain bike company. They were they just wanted some shows at one of their events, a Cactus Cup in Arizona. You know, these Cactus Cup events were huge. You know, it was a big mountain bike event. And they wanted some entertainment in the, like, the paddock area. And so Wayne Crosdale, old friend of mine from the Antelope Valley, you know, we were competitors back in the day, you know, and friends forever. And then we weren't friends, and then we were friends, you know, because we raced each other. But he suggested to Specialize because he was already, you know, working with them. Hey, this guy, Gary Lent, does backflips, you know, see if we can get him to do some flips at the Cactus Cup. And they did. So they called me and they wanted me to do it on a mountain bike. And I was like, oh shit, I don't know. I've never done that before. I mean, I've thought about it.
Right.
But, you know, that's a different world. So they sent me, I kid you not, like 6 or 8 bikes just see if I could work this out. Okay. You know, I said, give me the smallest mountain bike you got. And they did. And I set them up as best I could. And I did a whole bunch of, like, testing on it, you know, like doing 360s and, you know, all kinds of other jumps and stuff. Because I was going to bring a jump box out there, too, and a quarter pipe to ride this bike on. I took some, peregrine handlebars, you know, because they had the top bar, like, went together and looped up.
Yep.
And it welded from the bottom. Well, I chopped off what was welded on the bottom and used just the snake handlebar top as a mountain bike handlebar, which is now kind of the staple. That's what they do now. They sweep up a little bit, or they used to. Now they're kind of straight. What else? I put smoother tires on it, you know, like just some 26-inch tires that were a little smoother than knobbies. And, you know, I had the bike set up, and I had decided, because I didn't want to destroy the bike and I didn't want to destroy myself, I decided to wait till show day to try to flip on it. Yeah, but I did all kinds of other testing on it. So, and I had it down pretty good. I was able to do 360 tricks, even like 360 tabletops, 360 like little, you know, Euro kind of, you know, stuff. Mm-hmm. I just had to suck the rear end up a little quicker than normal, like a normal 20-inch. So we're at the show, and I'm kind of stressing about this the whole day. Like, man, okay, I'm going to throw it. I figured I had to, you know, maybe throw it a little faster than normal because it's a bigger bike. So we're doing the show and announce about the big backflip going to happen. And even Wayne Crosdale got on the microphone, was pumping up the crowd and everything. And I just went for it, and I over-rotated.
Oh, no.
Yeah, over-rotated. And I still got kind of a weak knee because of, you know, the ACL thing. So I'm limping back up to the bike, and I grab it, and I go for it again. And I just did it exactly as I would on a 20-inch, and it worked out perfect. It's like, holy shit. And this was late 93 or early 94.
Mm-hmm.
So wow. I'm not sure. I might be one of the first guys to flip a mountain bike. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know. I'd like somebody to search it out one day and see if I can, you know, see if I'm in there, but you know, it's possible.
See if you can make that claim.
See if I can, yeah, because like I said, nobody had done it yet, and Specialized sent me all those bikes to do this. They were trying to get it done, and it didn't really, you know, make the headwaves I thought it would. You know, I thought first ever mountain bike bet. I was hoping for some kind of accolade like that, but it never really manifested. And the Specialized deal continued. You know, I even got like their top of the line mountain bikes and, you know, all their suspension stuff. So I got some really neat stuff from them. And somewhere along the line, Travis Chipper started working for Specialized. And actually, I got to back up. Before that, when I was at Mongoose and I went to Specialized, Travis called me. He's like, dude, where are you going? Are you going to a mountain bike company? I said, well, yeah, I mean, they're offering me all this stuff, you know, but I don't have to write. They don't have a 20-inch or nothing like that. I was, well, dude, I mean, that sounds great, but I'd like to see you stay with the company. It's going to be around in 5 years. Yeah, because Specialized was a brand new company. Nobody knew.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Then the following year, I remember 2 years later, because I went to Japan the following year, so I didn't do this show. The year after that, Travis started working for Specialized, and he's heading up the BMX effort. So that changed everything. And so I was thinking, hell yeah, man, I'm in where it needs to be. You know, like maybe I can help develop this bike. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
And it didn't work out. They didn't need me anymore.
Yeah. But they did have a BMX, a race bike, didn't they?
Not yet.
But they did eventually, right?
Yeah, eventually, yeah. I mean, I guess I just had a little disagreement with management. You know, I wanted to keep the job, and they didn't want me to. I skipped Japan. Yeah, I went to Japan in between that. So while I was working for Specialized, I went to Japan for the Globe of Death. I started training for that Globe of Death thing during the laundry sorting, actually.
Okay.
So I knew better days were coming. Yeah.
Right.
And I got to practice in the Globe of Death for about an hour a week. An hour a week. Because of the union stage, they didn't allow a whole lot of time on stage because, they need to be paid for all that, hard work that they do when they're sitting there watching me ride a motorcycle.
Oh, really? So they got to pay people just to be there.
Yeah. They got to pay them a minimum and pay them a lot. And so my practicing was costing, these people a little bit of money. So, it was hard to do. So I got 1 hour a week. But it wound up being enough to get me savvy enough in the Globe after about, I'd say, about 6 months-ish, you know, around there, to where I could, they could count on me to ride with somebody else without killing them. Because, you know, when you're first starting, dude, you're getting dizzy and you're just not going, it's not going well. But I actually did 2 trips to Japan. The first trip, I got to try the Globe and crash a lot and destroy a bike.
Okay.
But my second trip, I was already a Globe rider and they sent me there. I was still pretty green, but I was basically going there to hone my skills as a Globe rider. So I went and did a year contract in Japan in 94.
So for people that don't know, so this is the like wire mesh Globe and you're riding a motorcycle in it.
Yeah, it's a big squirrel cage, big round hamster ball.
Okay.
And we're riding motorcycles in it. Oh, I pulled up the picture. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was my early Globe of Death days was in Japan. But Japan was pretty rad actually.
Was it? How long did how long were you there?
I was there for a year.
Wow.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Yeah, I put my life on hold for a year, and but it was good because I was able to, you know, really get good at the Globe of Death thing, you know, because I was able to practice as much as I wanted to. I could go up there anytime, day or night, and just ride that thing and, you know, create stuff. And I was bringing some of my BMX skills into the Globe, like doing no footers on the top, you know, while I was upside down and stuff, and just doing all kinds of little BMX stuff, like doing rollbacks, you know, back and forth with my feet up, and they'd never seen that before, you know, these other riders. I was riding with a guy from Brazil who honed his skills in, what was he, South Africa. And he was a young kid, you know, he was 19, but shit, I was 28, so I was still pretty young too. And we practiced a lot together. We learned so much, and plus we, you know, knew what we wanted to learn, you know, from our mentors. And we were able to practice all that. So we had a good deal.
How big around is that Globe?
Normally they're about 13 to 14 feet.
Okay.
That's kind of the norm.
Okay.
Yeah, the diameter. The one I was riding in Japan was 14 feet. Yeah.
Okay, so that's kind of... I imagine there's not a lot of these around. Obviously, that's...
There's more than you think, actually. Oh. Yeah, there is. The biggest one I've ever ridden was 16 feet. That was a guy named Monty Perlin. He's a stunt man in Hollywood. He doubled for Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, that guys like that.
Okay.
He has a big 16-foot globe. So you ride a full-size motorcycle in there. But in smaller globes, you ride like a kid-sized bike that you beef up, you know, put thicker spokes on it and some thicker, you know, harder suspension.
Okay. So what, like a YZ80 or something like that?
Yeah, but not a race bike. More like a kid's play bike, you know, something without a power band.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So we use Yamaha RT100s, which is like a little two-stroke bike that is user-friendly, no power band. We've tried the CR80s, things like that, but they just don't work. They fall on their face when you're going around on the side, when you're on a constant deload. For some reason, the high-revving motorcycles, the gas falls from the carburetor somehow and doesn't get to where it needs to go, and the bike goes boo. So you can't really use them unless you tune them down real hard. Yeah. But, so I learned a lot, you know, in Japan, you know, about the bikes, about the globe and, you know, about riding. And plus I was able to ride a lot of flatland because we had a tennis court next to our hotel. So I marked the shit out of that thing up. It was all had tire tracks all over it. Yeah. And then, there was a skate park in Osaka, which was a 2-hour bus, not bus ride, a 2-hour train ride from where I was at. And I went there every Tuesday, and the guys who owned this little skate park were the Yasutoko brothers, you know, those kids on rollerblades that won the X Games all those years.
I remember them. Yeah.
Yeah. They were little bitty kids when I was there.
Okay.
They were like 7 and 10 years old, if that, maybe not even that. Little bitty kids. And they had a 4-foot wide, maybe 9.5-foot tall vert ramp in this building. And I could hit the ceiling. I could touch the ceiling on it, and they would freak out, you know, whenever I'd come down. And they wouldn't even charge me. They just let me ride it, let me keep my bike there for free, and they're always excited. You know, they in their newsletter they put that, come see the American guy touch the ceiling, you know, and he's so nice and not like other Americans, you know. It was really cool because they were so smitten by me, and they loved me so much, and they were so nice to me, and it was great. So I got to ride there once a week.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I was riding a half pipe once a week, keeping up on my skills that way. And I usually carve when I do my 540s. So the 540s on this 12-foot wide ramp was kind of sketchy, you know. And then I'd come back to work the next day. So, you know, if I fell or whatever, I'm always all wrapped up and bandaged. And in Japan, they had these awesome things that you could put on your body where it was hurting, and it numbs it and makes it feel better. It has medicine. It's something that's not FDA approved, but works really well. And the next day at work, I'd be all like touched up with these things, you know, my shoulder, my back, or my hip or my knee or whatever. And what the hell are you doing? Stop that. Like, can't help it, man. I got to ride. I have to ride.
Right.
You know, they didn't. Right. I get, you know, you get hurt doing this shit. And the other performers didn't understand it. They were normal like dancers and, you know, seasoned performers that did not mess around because they didn't want to get hurt. So they couldn't work. Me, I didn't give a shit, dude. I'm going to go ride. I have to ride.
Yeah.
I didn't find any BMX tracks. I looked for it because I brought three bikes with me. I brought a dirt jumper, which is kind of like my race bike, you know, like ish. And then I brought my freestyle bike, of course, and a mountain bike. And the way I brought all this stuff was I put a mountain bike and the dirt jumper in one box. Of course, it was overweight, but they were paying, you know. And then my freestyle bike in another regular bike bag. Then I had to bring all my clothes and stuff, so I could only put two bags on the plane for pretty much for free. And the third bag would have cost me like $200. So what I figured out was if I bring it to the gate, they'll say, oh, you can't put that in the plane. You know, they'll turn you down, but they'll check it underneath the plane for you for free. They won't charge you because they don't know that you already checked two bags. So I bought this giant gear bag, you know, through customs and everything. And then of course they said, oh, you can't bring that on the plane. So I'm not leaving it here. So they checked it underneath the plane. Boom, $200 saved. No problem.
Nice. It got worked the system, man.
Yeah. Figured something out. Yeah. So I was entertained. I was pretty, you know, had my bikes and had lots to do. I mean, all the other performers and dancers, you know, they were bored because they didn't have a nightlife that they were accustomed to at home. And me, I didn't give a shit. You know, my nightlife was sleeping so I could get up and go ride. You know.
Yeah. So you're, when you moved over there,
yeah,
I mean, you're before cell phone.
Yeah, no cell phones. Huh?
You know, and even
I still had the voicemail.
Yeah, and, but you're still kind of in front of the whole explosion of the internet. What was it like with the adjusting, you know, living all the way around the globe? And it would have just pretty much been phone calls, right? Like when you were calling back.
Yeah, it was phone calls. And the TV, the only English I got was watching Supercross on TV. I'd have to like try to tune them out talking in Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
And dude, they pronounce stuff. Even when they're trying to talk, you know, speak English, mm-hmm. it's very bizarre. Like there was a rider named Greg Albertine from South Africa on Suzuki back then. And they were pronouncing his name Adabachi. I was like, who the heck?
Who are you talking about?
So, and then Donald Duck is Donato do Ducku. Winnie the Pooh is Commander Poo-san. That's Winnie the Pooh. So
what?
There's a lot of adjustments, you know. Then plus yeah. When I was there, I decided I really wanted to learn, you know, some Japanese and speak the language and hopefully, you know,
sure.
get some of that under my belt. And I did. I really dove into it. I even went to some classes trying to learn it. And it helped a lot. But yeah, the portions of food there are really small. Like when we first got there, we had to do this 3-hour bus ride to get to the venue because it's way out in the boondocks, you know, they mm-hmm. and I wanted on the menu to say we could have chicken or fish or something like that. I said, man, what's this, fried chicken? Oh, yeah, fried chicken. Like, how many pieces of fried chicken do I get? Oh, 3 pieces. Like, 3 pieces. I did that. 3 pieces. So, yeah, I'll take the fried chicken. It was, you know, those little tiny little chicken wings you get at the bar that, you know, like, that are shitty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not the good plump ones.
Yeah,
it was 3 of those. And I was so hungry. It's like, oh, that's not enough.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that. The food there is totally different from
way different. Yeah. So but I also tried all the food, you know, I could. I really wanted to get cultured out there. And
sure.
So after being there for a couple of months, I met some people. I'll tell this story first. I was there for about 2 days, and I was just riding my bike around the city looking for something. It was out in the boondocks. Looking for something, I found a Circle K, and I saw some skater kids at the Circle K. So, oh man, maybe there's a skate park nearby or a ditch or something I could ride. I went up and tried to talk to them, and they didn't speak any English at all.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they had on Vans and stuff. I was like, shit, these kids kind of know some English. I'm trying to talk to them, and they're also, I could tell their attitude towards me was like, yeah. But they were dismissive, very dismissive.
Really?
I was trying to, like, draw pictures or just do, you know, like try to communicate somehow.
Yeah.
And they weren't having it. They were just being a little standoffish, if you will.
Huh.
And then I saw one of our interpreters from the show pull up to the Circle K. And so I went and got him and brought him over so he could, you know, help me talk to these kids.
Yeah.
And when that man showed up, those kids stopped with a sluffy attitude and, you know, kind of, you know, a little punk rocky attitude, whatever, I don't know, call it what you want, but that went away right away when that man walked up. They stood at attention and spoke to him and looked him in the eye and bowed to him and being super, you could tell the demeanor was polite. He would ask me a question, he would translate, go back and forth, and I got all the information I needed. And those kids were I've never seen anybody pop into being polite so quickly like that. And I had to ask him about that, so I told him what had happened. Because, well, in Japan, the adults are basically the supreme being, so you show respect to the your elders. Okay. I was like, wow, I wish that was so in America.
Yeah. Well, it's
so the kids can be little punk-ass dickheads, but yeah. Not when there's an adult around, man. They just jump to attention. It was amazing.
Huh. Well, it's still odd that they wouldn't be respectful to you. Even
not at all. No,
because he's in.
No, because I was. I don't know. I mean, just we're kind of known for being disrespectful ourselves, I guess. At that time, I don't know what it's like now. I mean, that was a lot. That was years ago, 94.
Right.
But so I probably didn't have a chance just because of what they've maybe seen or heard about Americans. You know.
True.
So it might have been that. You know, and these kids are country kids. country folks, so to speak. Even in America, when you go to the country and you're a city boy, you're going to get some flack. You know?
That's true, yeah. I guess.
Well, well, after being here for a couple months, I got some friends and a skateboarder, and you know, we go to the skate park and stuff, and you know, we met some people. And then he asked me, "Hey, what do you want to go eat? I'm going to take you wherever you want to go," you know, in broken English. And I said, "I mean, I would love some Taco Bell." "Oh, you want tacos? I would love a taco." So I think I'm going to a Mexican restaurant.
Right.
Well, they take me to this place, and there's nothing Mexican about it. And sure enough, they order me taco. Dude, they bring me a raw octopus on a plate. About that big around.
Oh, you said an octopus?
Taco,
yeah.
Taco means octopus in Japanese.
Oh, yeah. Really?
So, oh. Yeah. So they really thought I wanted a raw octopus. Oh. That's what I got.
Did you try it? Oh, you Sorry? Didn't. Did you try it?
Oh, yeah, I ate it. I even shared it with the others.
Okay.
Rubbery, man. It was hard to eat.
Oh.
Why was it wrong?
So when we got through that misunderstanding, they understood that I wanted Mexican food. So they took me to a Mexican restaurant the following week. And I picked out on the menu what looked like a bowl of beans and some other, maybe enchilada or something. The enchilada was somewhat, it was some stuff wrapped in more lettucey than enchilada. And the bowl of beans was actually clam soup. So,
oh my gosh.
I had clam for the first time at a Mexican restaurant. I mean, there were sombreros on the wall and everything, but they didn't understand completely what you're looking for. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The man was awesome, dude. I mean, the people were so sweet, so nice, and so amazing. I can't say enough good things about that experience going to Japan. Yeah.
Yeah. That's I've never been there, but my parents have been there in the late 70s, I want to say they went there. And they were there for a week, and they had all this tours they went on and everything. And my mom says, they got to Tokyo, and there was a McDonald's there. She goes, I was never so happy to see McDonald's.
Something, yeah. But you understood, yeah.
Right, yeah.
With your when you were over there with the show, were you touring around doing the show?
No, it was in one place.
It was in one place?
One resort, yeah. It's a big hotel, golf course resort.
Wow. Wait, hotel, and you were doing the Globe of Death there?
Yeah. Yeah, they had a showroom inside the hotel. Oh, kinda like, okay. They're trying to start a Vegas-themed area, kind of like a master plan thing. Mm-hmm. And so a whole bunch of people with a whole bunch of money got together and built this facility, this golf course facility, mm-hmm. and hired us as a show. You know, they basically wanted to bring a Vegas show to this venue, and they did. Oh. Yeah. I think they just wanted one of the girls to be there so the executives could party with them. Because, okay. Dude, they would do that. They would pay us to go party with some of these rich people that would come and tour, the tourists. They would pay us to come and hang out at the dance club and stuff like that. I never did. I never went because I was always trying to get some sleep so I could go ride the next day. Mm-hmm. But they had a place to party all the time and free booze. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, no, I'm good. Gary, come on, they'll pay you. Like, I don't care. And also on our day off, I'm going to Osaka so I can ride the skate park. Mm-hmm. I don't want any part of this shit.
Right. Yeah. It's time to ride.
Let's do it. Chat check-in here.
See what's happening.
Move in there because there's actually quite a few questions in there. And
oh, cool.
Get some shout-outs. We'll toss it over to Melissa for the BMX Rocks Photography chat check-in this evening. Melissa, how's the chat room?
If she talks about the twins.
I'm always with the twins. home without them. Well, guys, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. We're going to say hi to Hawk Karinsky. He's tuning in.
Hawkster.
Brian Fell and Robert Cardoza over on YouTube. Thanks for tuning in,
guys. Robert.
Frank Kilm... is it Klimeki, I think? Says Gary is the man. Colin Johnson's tuning in over on Facebook.
Ah.
He wants me to ask you, Gary, about the U in Palmdale.
The U, yes. I will talk about that. That's the place where I grew up riding. Okay. But I want to say this about Colin. He's the reason I'm alive today.
Aww.
Colin Johnson is the reason I'm alive. I busted my spleen at Orange Y. What year was that? Maybe 84? Yeah, 84. And we decided, well, we were going to go to Palmdale to ride at the U, you know, to kind of train and everything, you know, before we went to a national up in Northern California. And, of course, we're at Orange Y, and I wound up busting my spleen. And he had to drive home, but I didn't know my spleen was busted. I just thought I, you know, knocked the wind out of myself. Mm-hmm. But I broke my fingers. I couldn't drive. But he was driving home, and it's a two and a half hour drive to get to where we're going. And I start screaming like a girl, like all those pains in my shoulder, but it was falsified. I'm going to try to summon this up real quick. Anyway, it turned out to be my spleen. I was bleeding inside and dying. And because he was driving home, we got there in time for me to not bleed out.
Oh, wow.
Internally.
That's a
yeah.
big deal.
I'm alive because of Colin Johnson. Thank you, by the way, Colin.
Well, I feel like we all should thank him. That's pretty amazing.
We appreciate
but
that.
The U is an amazing place to ride. Yeah, I got to talk about that before we sign off tonight.
Okay. We're going to say hi to Low and Slow over at YouTube. Mike Melvin's with us. Aaron Hufford is tuning in. Luke over on YouTube says, I was just checking Gary's Insta to see if he knew the guys I knew, and I saw that he used to ride with Rich Bartlett. That's sick.
Yeah. Still do.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Hi to Mark Anthony. Steve Lamb's tuning in. John Hinkle is with us.
Nice.
Mike Miller also tuning in over on Facebook. He said his favorite Gary Laurent story is the tennis ball story.
Tennis ball, yeah. He's never going to let me live that down.
We want to say hi to Ben Powell. And he was curious if you ever did a show with Robert Sadako. Is it Saduko? Sacadoa?
Salcido. Oh, no, I never did a show with him.
Not even close.
No, Robert was a circus performer that was one of the first backflippers. Yeah.
Okay.
Amazing guy.
All right.
Him and Guy Horsey, I believe, were partners.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. Sean Gifford and Damon Tucson also tuning in over on Facebook saying hi. Chadley
Designs.
Yeah. Okay. He says, Gary, you're such a BMX lifer.
Yeah, he's not lying.
Ollie Walk over on YouTube says, we're having a good time.
We're having a good time.
Don't worry, we're having a good time. Let's see. Colin Johnson, anytime worth, he says, well worth saving. So, yeah, that's pretty good.
He told me Gimpy spleenless forever.
That's funny. Chavez Pack over on YouTube says, yo Gary, what year and what did you decide to lose that fabulous mullet? Love you, brother.
it went away right before I went to Japan. I finally gave up on it and went full grunge and let the hair grow.
Awesome. Well, thanks for the questions, guys. If anybody's got anything else you want me to ask Gary, just put it in the chat.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I think if Melissa mentioned your name, you got to make sure you like and subscribe.
There we go.
Get my little like in.
I'll tell you what, dude. If we can crest that 1,000 mark on YouTube, Chris,
yeah.
You push this a lot, which we appreciate.
I try.
But I think based on our guest's reaction before the show went on the air, when you were dropping F-bombs, when you
heard it.
Yeah. He's talking about working on his bike and then just F-bombs are flying out like no other. Gary's like, is Chris driving the F-bomb? If we can get over that number, if we can get over the 1,000 subscribers on YouTube,
you got to drop
an F-bomb on the
okay.
show.
All right.
You heard it first.
Was you, Gary, that got us there.
Where are we at right now?
Nice.
Not much. I'll guarantee. I bet you it's.
It's not. That's the beautiful thing.
No. Let's look real quick.
Yeah, here it is. So I was looking up some of the pictures on the Globe of Death. I'm real quick plugging your YouTube page, Gary. You have a bunch of videos over there of performances and things like that. I'm recommending and telling everyone to go and look because
go check it out.
You've got some awesome videos over there. Currently set at 915 subscribers.
Oh,
well, I started doing that a while back, and it never.
Let's do 1,100 then.
All we need is 1,000. You'll drop an F bomb on the show. We got 915.
It's
right
getting
now.
Too close.
Right, well, you know that's all right. That's reasonable. Okay.
Yeah, that's good. That's fair.
It's a start. That's for sure.
Oh, Adam Horovitz says he's probably a closet F bomber, and you should hear him when he's talking about working on a bike over here. Holy!
I'm surprised.
All right, so you're living over in Japan.
I was basically trying to make money in Japan so I could start a skate park. That was my plan.
Was it?
Yeah, I wanted to start a skate park because I started a skate park in a recreation center here in Vegas, mm-hmm. and it was a church. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you, they just stole from me. They lied to me. It was a raw deal. They screwed me. So wow. I decided I wanted to do my own thing mm-hmm. and build an actual skate park. And the reason I thought I could do it is because I was in Japan, you know, going to this little skate park, and they were making it happen. So, man, we don't have to have a big place. We just anything,
right.
You know, any plot of, you know, concrete or, you know, small warehouse, whatever. So when I got back from Japan after my year stay there, one, it was a culture shock because I'd been gone for so long, you know, and that's when me and my friend started chasing warehouses looking for, I made enough money to, I saved enough money to get this project started. And plus I already had a bunch of ramps that I built for shows and for backyard stuff. Mm-hmm. And even in his yard, my buddy, we had a small half pipe in his backyard. We're going to use the wood from that. And, you know, I had a whole bunch of wood saved at my mom's house, you know, so we were able to make a good start at this. So we started looking for buildings and we got a big fat no from everybody we talked to. As soon as you mentioned the word skate park, kids, bicycles, recreation, you know, any kind of word, you know, to deal with kids, they just, nope, absolutely not. So we started getting creative with our wording when we were looking for warehouses. Mm-hmm. Recreation center.
This was in Vegas.
What are you going to do in this recreation center? Oh, no, I'm sorry, not recreation center. It was a training center. Training center for what? Well, we do shows. We do the Globe of Death shows, you know, because it was I was also in the show in Vegas at the Riviera again. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, oh, you do that motorcycle show at the Riviera? Yes, I do. Oh, so they took me serious as an actual adult now, even though I was 28 years old. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you exclude the word kid in any way, they start to talk to you. And then we still had a hard time finding the building that it would work for us, you know, cost-wise.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
This real estate agent that wanted to help us out for free. He wanted to help us out. So he started looking for us. We found a couple places and wasn't really, you know, what we were looking for. And plus the ceiling was too low or something like that. Mm-hmm. Then he found this place right behind the Rio Hotel. And they only wanted $2,100 a month for 5,000 square feet with 20-foot ceilings. I was like, oh dear God. And plus there was room outside, you mm-hmm. know, for a future vert ramp, you know, in the parking lot. I was like, yes, just yes, yes. Whatever the man wants, yes.
Yeah.
And we rented it and we started building right away. You know, we went to my mom's place with my, you know, the van I was living in and my trailer and went and got all the ramps I had, all the wood, mm-hmm. Took his ramp apart in his backyard and we started building the skate park. Just went for it. You know, didn't care if it made it or not. We did not give a shit. We just wanted to build it.
Mm-hmm.
We're building it. And where do we go next? I'm also working at this time at the Riviera. And while we're building this damn skate park, I tore my ACL again.
Oh.
I was like, on a motorcycle this time. But I needed to get this place, you know, started so we could start making some money, right? You know, I just kept working through it. You know, I just put ice on it and kept going. I didn't try to get it fixed or nothing. I just, you know, had to get this place built. So we were working all night, all, you know, much of the day as we could. I'd go to work, you know, do my show and then come back. And we got a good jump on it and we got open and started charging kids to come in and we made flyers and dude, it took off like wildfire.
What was the name of it?
Planet Plywood.
I remember. Actually, I remember. See him pictures and, in the magazine.
Yeah, the way we thought of the name was, you know, we were trying to think of a name for the place. You know, he thought of woodworks and you're just trying to anything, you know, just throwing stuff at the wall, see if it, you know, resonated with us. Hey, Mom. Thanks. Okay. All right, thanks. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
She gets the mail. So we're thinking of names and, plywood, something or other. And then there was a commercial on TV that said, about Planet Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking of, like, the plywood hoods, in New York. Plywood hoods, plywood, planet, plywood. Yeah.
Right.
And so we ran with it, and I like the name. It was a good name. Yeah.
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 So we got up and running. And then one day I'm at the MGM doing shows and the owner comes in and I wasn't there. My friend's girlfriend was running the front office there, letting the kids in and out. Mm-hmm. And he comes in and takes a look around. And he's just like, "Hey, is Gary here?" And he said, "No, he's doing a show." And I will have him call me. Okay. Who can I say is, or you are? You know, tell him Reed Zobrist, he was the owner, needs to talk to him. Okay. And so I come back. Hey, a guy named Reed came in. Reed who? Reed's, he came in? Yeah. He wants to talk to you. It's like, oh, crap. Because we didn't get a business license. We didn't get a variance. We didn't do nothing. I didn't even tell the guy. I told the guy it was a training center. We're okay. We're going to practice our shows in there.
Right.
I call him up. And he says, "So Gary, wow, you got a lot of kids in there, huh?" I say, "Yeah, you know what happened, Reed? This is what happened. You're not gonna believe this, but this is what happened." We were building the place, and the door was open, and some kids came by and saw the ramps, and like, "Wow, hey, we like to ride those ramps. Can we pay you $5?" "Yeah, sure, pay me $5." And man, it took off like wildfire. Who knew? Lying my ass off. He goes. And he's sitting there silent for a second. I go, "Reed," he goes, "You know what? That's great. That is awesome. Gary, well, just make sure you get yourself some insurance and keep up the good work." I was like,
"Oh, man."
Yeah.
What year what year was this about? Like around the time?
96.
96, okay.
Yeah. So, we got all kinds of magazine coverage. And Yeah, we made a lot of changes. You know, we were reinvesting and building, bigger, better ramps. And we were able to stay at that location for a year, but then the Rio Hotel bought the property
mm-hmm.
from the guy and they paid us a good chunk of money to move. So it wasn't a problem. The only problem was we had to shut our doors for a bit and relocate. But we made out like bandits when it came to the money. Yeah.
All the way across here in, like, I remember here in Michigan, the logo.
Heard of it?
Oh yeah, Michigan? For sure. Yeah. Cuz I can remember the little globe and the planet plywood.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a old town.
Yeah,
my friend Greg Higgins made that logo for us. He was a Super Freak artist.
Mm-hmm.
He called himself Super Freak. He did the artwork for the Holmes S&M Holmes stickers.
Yeah,
the slam bars. Yeah.
Yep.
He did our logo. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you guys did too. You had lots of coverage because I'd see it in Ride and even in Snap, because I feel like they did an article once with a racer that rode there from your area, and seeing it in there and plus I remember the place getting lots of coverage and wanting to go to Vegas partly because of that skate park.
Go checking it out, eh?
Yeah,
we got a lot of people just because they wanted to come to Vegas.
Yep.
Would come for the skate park. Yeah, it was doing well. It was making a lot of money. We had a lot of coverage and a lot of good talent rolled through there in and out that lived here.
Mm-hmm.
All the Pat guys and, Lavin and, Ruel Erickson, a lot of good talent went through that in and out of that place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was, how long was the run at the new location before you guys?
New location, we made it, I don't remember. I think we made it to 2001, 2002,
mm-hmm.
2000. Yeah, we made it about 3 years over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started building all the free skate parks in town, all the concrete.
That's what I
thought. And that just ruined me. So I decided to close the doors. And plus, it was getting really tough to do. I was pulling money out of my pocket to make the rent. In our new place, the rent was a lot more expensive, dude. It wasn't no $2,100. It was like $3,500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So I still had like 3 years left on the lease, I think. No, I'm sorry. 10 months. I had 10 months left on the lease. Yeah, so, and I told them I couldn't make it anymore. So they said, well, just get the place ready to rent. We'll see about getting your deposit back. And long story short, got it ready to rent. And I handed them the keys and they said, thank you. And just showed me the door. So, okay. So forget the deposit, man. I'm out of the lease. Yeah. Good enough. Yeah. So after Planet Plywood closed, I started going to like Ricardo Laguna's house. You know, he had a dirt jumps in his backyard, and of course TJ Lavin built his dirt jumps. So I started riding a lot of dirt, and you know, having a blast doing it, dude. And TJ, dude, that guy would push you so hard. He kind of meant to, because he knew you were capable of something. Like, I was not capable in my mind of a mid-pack 360 into a bar spin and then another 360 or something, another mid-pack 360. I did not believe I was on that level, and he would try to get me to do shit like that, and he would win. He would get me to try shit like that, and the time I pulled it off, but I was scared to death. But I come to find out, if you don't think about it and you just drop in without thinking, you kind of get over the scared a little bit. You know, like the mega ramp, you just get up there and you just turn it. You don't give yourself any hesitation. You just start going.
Right.
Yeah. It tends to work pretty good. And then TJ's house was great for that, because that roll in, you get up there, and before you're even done breathing from climbing the stairs, you just roll in if you want to try this shit. But TJ would push me to do this stuff. He got me to do some things that I thought was really out of my wheelhouse. But so much fun.
Those jumps were, they were big. Those were big.
Yeah, next
jumps,
level big. Man. Yeah. They weren't no 4 foot, 5 foot tall jump, man. They were 8 foot to 9 foot launches, maybe bigger.
Yeah.
And they were big gaps. Yeah.
There's some big ass jumps.
Yeah. But you learn to ride it over there. You can ride anywhere, dude. It's just, and one time I was there at TJ's, Travis Chippers was there too, watching a few others. And I was sitting up there, like, so it was one of my first runs on the new set they just built.
Mm-hmm.
And TJ, go for it, Gary. Man, I don't know, man. Maybe I should. I'm a little nervous about this. Oh, dude, shut up. You got this. You got this. Just go. I'm like, okay, fine. And he goes, I'm going to follow you. I already got my front wheel over the edge. It's like, what? You're going to, what? So he's following me. And I could hear him back there, but he can boost. You know, I'm just trying to get through it, you know, kind of pushing through.
Yeah.
And because of that, what was going on and him doing that, I decided it was a good idea to throw a 360 in the last set of the first three before the berm. And I remember I did it, and I looked him straight in the face on the 360 coming around. And he's like, even he was like, oh, you know, because he wasn't sure what I was doing. So he scared me, so I got to scare the shit out of him on the first run.
Pay him back.
Yeah, dude. It was so much fun riding with those guys, with Ricardo and TJ.
Yeah.
And plus, they're so smooth, and you want to borrow from that style, and being able to ride those big stuff was a good time. Yeah.
Sweet. And you guys had just the hot scene going on there.
Yeah. Oh, we did, dude. I didn't have to pick up the shovel once. Perfect.
Well, then I remember That's seeing sweet. An article when he decided to put lights up. And
yeah.
I remember reading that, like, man, it's got, man, yeah. That's rock star status. He's putting lights up.
It was so amazing.
Yeah.
So amazing.
We had TJ on, gosh, a long time ago now with Tracer Finn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we should try and get him back. That would be cool.
He's a busy guy.
He is busy, dude. I mean, I've got a key to the backyard still.
What?
But, I call him before I go over there, if I go.
Yeah.
But dude, right. It's just so hard to maintain those things on by yourself. And I've had people offer, but it just didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
So the jumps need a lot of work to be ridden anymore. It's and a bum, because I really want to ride there again, but it's scary. And the things are just so big now, you know? Yeah. But, let's see, after that, while that was going on, what happened? Chris Franke did a series in Vegas called The King of Vegas. It was like 30 and over people on flat pedal. No, it wasn't flat pedals. It was just a King of Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a 30 and over open class. And I'd heard about it. It's like, oh, shit, I'll go out there. You know, somebody said, you should go. So, yeah, okay, I'll go out there. So I went out there on my freestyle bike, you know, my two-hit pork. Yeah.
Great bike. Great bike.
Went to the BMX track, and they still had a they didn't have a random gate. They still had the gate you could time.
Mm-hmm.
And dudes were slingshotting, and I'd never seen that before.
Oh,
and I was getting destroyed by these guys. You know, I was like, and plus by then I'd been so far removed from BMX racing, I didn't really know what I was doing anymore. How to pedal over stuff anymore. And so that kind of sparked an interest for me to start going to the track again. It was this mm-hmm. King of Vegas series. Huh. Yeah. So I built a race bike, not a race bike. I built a 2-hip fork. I had several of them. So I built one up for racing, you know, with, I put 185 cranks on it. I put the gearing I thought would work. I put, you know, the tires I thought, you know, the knobby tires.
Yeah.
And went out there and got smoked. And I was like, so I gave up on the 185s and put something more reasonable on there, like 180s or 185. I don't remember what I did.
Would this have been like the early 2000s when you were back?
Yes. Early 2000s. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it started me, you know, going to the track again. And I was having a good time. And of course, my first couple races back, I couldn't make it past the second straight. I was winded.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, completely winded after the first turn.
That's wild. You know? That's wild, given like what else you were into with the dirt jumping, the motorcycle riding, like that. It takes that out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but I was riding mountain bikes three times a week. Wow. You know, and really punishing myself mm-hmm. on these, you know, big trails we have out here. Plus, I was riding dirt bikes in the, you know, early 2000s. Just, you know, trying to stay savvy, you know, with the clutch, using the clutch and everything like that. But I was getting hurt a lot on the dirt bike, so I kind of slowed down on that. But yeah, so BMX, I had to actually work at it to be able to get past the second straight.
Mm-hmm.
And I started doing that and started making an effort towards it. And I come to find out that they have a 41 and over expert class in ABA at that time. So I decided to try it. Oh, that'll be a fun old man experts class. You know, but I've already been riding for a little bit. I've been racing locally,
mm-hmm.
been, you know, getting to where I could pedal around the entire track. So I went to this, where did I go? I went to a National Lancaster, California. And those guys were as serious as AA pros. And they were just gnarly and big. And some of them were just... they're super aggressive. I was like, what the fuck is this? I mean, these guys are nuts. You know?
It's supposed to be
fun. I didn't
fun.
Realize. I didn't realize how serious these guys were.
Yeah.
But it was a wake-up call. So if I wanted to do any good in this class, you know, I think I got like – I actually made the main on a Friday night pre-race and the Saturday national. I made the main. But then in the Sunday race, Sunday national – the second moto, they were taking two and there was only three of us in the moto.
Oh.
And I was getting dusted by these two guys and I decided to try a 360 in the middle of the race and chase them down. And, you know, I pulled it off, but it was, you know, it was fun, but, I still got beat by these guys and I didn't like that. So I started actually making an effort to get better at this again. Mm-hmm. And I did, but then what happened? Oh, I went to a Gold Cup championships in, Boulder City, and the Friday night pre-race decided to do a 360 in that thing. Cause I said, if I'm in first or last, I'm going to do a 360 or somebody, the same guy paid me $5 to do the flip, in 93.
Right.
He said he'd give me $35 and I did a 360.
Well, hey, at least you got more money.
Yeah. And I actually never got the money cause I didn't pull it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I broke my back.
What?
Oh,
there's yeah. Just, there's that little part.
Yeah, I broke my back.
Doing the 360, you're like.
I don't know because I seriously I have no recollection of the second straightaway or any time until I woke up.
Mm-hmm.
It just somehow when you get knocked out, your brain can like go backwards a few steps and then start recording again. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have no recollection. People have told me what I did. They said I endoed, over-cleared it. And I heard somebody else say I didn't clear it enough and endoed. But I also broke my thumb. When I woke up, that thing was like 4 inches shorter than it's supposed to be. And I had to pull it back out and place it. But yeah, that sucked, man. That was a long time to heal.
Oh, I bet.
But got past that. And then when I got healed from my back, you know, I started – you know, riding again, you know, Ricardo's. And then I got back out at the track. The same guy who paid me the money to 360 and backflip, he started a bike shop, and he said, hey, come to the track and do some racing. It's like, yeah, sure, why not? And I started racing again in 2014 on my Hoffman Condor this time. But I actually made some efforts. I actually started doing some sprints and started doing some gates and really making an effort towards it. And
right.
And I wound up doing pretty good. I got Nag 19 in 2014.
Nice.
Just from a few nationals I went to. We got like third place here and there, but also mm-hmm. won a national in Pottstown, Pennsylvania on my Hoffman Condor.
So, really?
So I might be the first guy to win a national on a freestyle bike. I don't know.
There you go.
It's a fun.
I mean, even the front brake mounts were on the fork still. Just took the pegs and front brakes off and raced a national, raced that national and won. Yeah. That was fun. But it made me really want to make a better effort at it. So I went to the Grands, and this guy that had the bike shop, Nick Mancuri, he hooked me up with a Redline anniversary edition, you know, the white Redline. And so I had a full race bike now. Went to the Grands, and I came unclipped in the quarter and didn't make it past the quarters, and I was pissed. I was like, that's it. I'm going for it next year. So I stopped dirt jumping. I stopped freestyle riding. I mean, I did a little bit here and there, you know, for shows and stuff, but I wasn't making an effort at it. All my efforts was going towards racing. So I, 2015, I got all my wins I needed and went to the Grands, and I got fourth. So I wound up with Nag 2 in 2015.
Dang.
So I was I was super happy about it actually, because there was like more than 10 guys that are faster than me. Mm-hmm. in that class at the time. I was 46 and over expert. I was 49 years old. I mean, even like, yep. Billy Griggs and those guys were in the class by then, and Kennedy and people. That I was so relieved just to make the main, really, and so over the moon. I was actually sitting in fifth place in the semi, and I passed two guys in the rhythm section. I passed Bubba Hayes and I think Chris Kennedy. And then Bubba Hayes, out of desperation, just rammed into Chris Kennedy, and Kennedy hit me. But I stayed up, and so did Chris, and we made the main. Poor Bubba. He was sitting comfortably in fourth place, and I blew by him in the rhythm. And, you know, that had to be a hard one for him to swallow, but I wanted to make that main too. You know?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to push it a little extra.
Yeah, yeah. So I got fourth in the main. So that was pretty good. And then, started, you know, playing again on the bike. You know, like I went to the first national year, Vegas, and then I went to that one in Arizona in 2016. Mm-hmm. And my wife's like, what are you doing? Like, well, I'm just going to a race. Like, hey, you had your year.
You know? Oh no.
She pretty much gave me permission to go for it and do this, what I was doing.
Yeah. Yep.
And she was like, wait a minute, you already did that. Wait, what's going on here? And then I broke a rib at the second day, the Saturday practice, mm-hmm. at the Arizona National, and that kind of chilled me out. Okay, fine. All right, we're going to slow down on racing. We're taking the clips off. We're going to have fun again. Ah. So just went back to riding my bike, and that's where it was. And then, you know, started riding ramps more often again. And, you know, I didn't do any mountain biking in 2015 at all. I just tried for the quick twitch, you know, the you know, trying to go fast instead of the mountain biking. I just left it all alone. Okay. But, let's see what next. I guess next was, we went to Woodward for the old school reunions. You haven't been to one of those? Probably not. It's on the West Coast.
I've heard them, watched the videos on YouTube. Yeah. Those look like a lot of fun.
They're a good time, yeah. So the thing that was going on at those events was everybody always went to the mega ramp.
Mm-hmm.
I'd been on it a couple times and scared the shit out of myself and kind of left it alone. But I was thinking, because I was riding TJ's house quite a bit at this time, and he has like a 27-foot resi.
Mm-hmm.
Jump, you know, which is a pretty big jump. And I thought, I wonder if I could flip that mega ramp, because I have a hard time jumping it straight because I keep getting bucked sideways one way or another. So And I thought, you know, maybe if I flipped it, I could do it easier, you know, because I can flip further than I can jump straight. You know, I don't know why that is. So I was just thinking about it, and I remember seeing somebody try to flip it and way over rotate it. Austin Coleman just mashed himself at that reunion. And then I saw somebody else way under rotate it. You know, it's like, so okay, you got to flip slow, but not too slow. So I was thinking about it for like 2 weeks before this event. Then we go to the event, and we're all there. So me, Richard Bartlett, Bartlett jumped it straight twice, dude. I mean, I couldn't believe it. It was rad. Then who else was there really shining? Miranda, Robbie Miranda was jumping that thing and doing really well. But and Ron Wilkerson was trying to do it. But there was a bunch of us trying to jump this thing, even Mike Perini. So anyway, I go up there, and I'm sitting at the top. I've made a few runs at it, and it's just not going well. So I started thinking, like, you know what? If I'm going to flip this thing, I'm going to rotate as slow as I can and just see where it goes. It's kind of, I'm thinking it's going to be either epic great, or it's going to be, or I'm going to wake up in the hospital, whatever, man. I'm starting to feel it, you know, because, you know, everybody's kind of, you know, pushing each other and having a good time. So walking up there, I get set, and I just push the old F it button right next to me, and I get up and start cranking, and everybody at the bottom starts going, no, no, stop, stop. It's like, whoa, 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 you know, I had to hit the brakes. For psyching myself to do this, I had to hit the brakes. Ron Wilkerson's little kid jumped up on the takeoff part of the ramp and crawling up it. So they stopped me. Like, crap. So I had to go back up there and reset. And I'm thinking in my head, man, was that a sign? And I'm not a big believer in that, but you start to get, you know, when you're scared, you know, what are you going to do? Because I was shaking before I did that. Wow. I was like, no, it wasn't a sign. The F it button has been pushed. It is what it is. You know, we'll see. Giving like 5 AA cranks down that hill, and you start going so fast. You know, the bike's bouncing, like you hear your tires going, and you're shaking. You can barely hang on to the handlebars because you're shaking. And then that ramp at the bottom, that super mellow ramp at the bottom for that 50-foot jump, is starting to look really steep. You know, when you're going that fast.
Oh my gosh!
You just have a moment of clarity where you just. You get into business mode and you do it. And so I just took off and just waited and waited and waited as long as, you know, and then started to look back there, and it just came around perfect. And I landed perfect. And even everybody starts screaming and yelling, going crazy. Even me, I was like, oh my God, I start shaking again. And I just hit the brakes and didn't even do it. I couldn't even do an air after that, 'cause I was shaking so bad afterward. Just let my bike go. I slid to a stop, and I'm just like, playing Vegas Showman to the crowd and taking in all this applause, and plus I'm just so relieved that I'm not waking up, you know, later from whatever happened. And came down and got my bike and brought it back up, and just getting congratulations everywhere, dude. I mean, again, the applause lasted for a minute.
It's such a big ramp, you know. My friend and I went to the X Games, and the last year they had the X Games, 19, went out to Minnesota, and we went down and stood on the floor before the event, like in practice, warm up.
Yeah.
And it's so huge. And then we sat up on like the second tier at the football stadium. So we were kind of eye level where the quarter pipe was.
Yeah.
And you know, you're eye level where the quarter pipe is, but still y'all are dropping in up there. And when, you know, you look here, and then when you, it's in that, you're saying that the channel jump, it's just massive. Like, you know, video can't do justice. Point of view cameras can't. Yeah. You stand there and see, like, you're like, holy. So you talking to your flip. Yeah.
So people were kind of surprised because I was having such a hard time jumping it straight. They just thought, oh, you know, he just doesn't have it today. And then I flipped it, and they're like, where did that come from? You know, and even me, and dude, my wife was pissed when she found out what happened, because the internet went a little nuts, you know, about that. People, you know, were posting about it, and the videos came out, and she'd heard about it, you know, through Facebook and everything. And Richard Bartlett made a really nice post, you know, talking about it and kind of, you know, really speaking well of me about how I came through, even, you know, though I was scared. So he made a nice little thing about it. That was really cool. But yeah, for a while, Richard Bartlett was the oldest guy on the planet to had jumped the mega ramp. And so I squashed the record.
Well, I gotta say, when you were telling that story, I was just like, this is like intense.
I'm shaking now.
Yeah, I was like, damn, that's a good story.
The tire part, that noise.
Oh, dude.
You could, when we were there, even when they were having the contest during the event, you could hear that. And the skateboards are it's even wilder to hear them go down. Yeah. But that
the
tire noise
that you wind up getting and all that traction, and you know, you get so much heavier when you're on that load. It's, I can't even explain it. Your bike's not supposed to go that fast.
Yeah. Yeah. That that stuff's not designed to go that fast.
Before we run out of time, though, I wanted to hear the tennis ball story.
It's pretty simple, man. It's not as glorious as he's making it out to be, but somebody threw a tennis ball at me one day. We were riding our bikes in a school or something, and somebody grabbed a loose tennis ball and threw it at me, and it stuck in my spokes, and I just kept it in there and never took it out. Then it became kind of a thing where I put it in my other bikes too.
No shit.
Yeah. So it was in my cruiser. If you look at my old race videos during my ProCraft days, mm-hmm. you'll see there's a tennis ball in my bikes. But I'm not the only one to do it. Brian Blyther did it for a little while too, sometime in the 80s. Yeah, he did it too. But actually, it was weird because the tennis ball, if you put it away from the valve stem, made the wheel not bounce. You had it in your hand. It was perfect. So my idea was that it balanced out the wheel. So I try to say it was for a reason.
That's okay. Funny because I always heard the reason, like the tennis balls were in like the freestyle guys' wheels. Was because you all were jumping in lakes, and it helped the bike float. It's like
I don't know. I never did that.
It got like,
no way.
Probably not. But that was always.
Yeah, but I did it just because someone threw something at me, and it stuck, and it wound up being kind of what my thing. Like even when I turned 17, but a couple of friends of mine bought me tennis balls. This was a joke. Yeah, but Mike Miller, he gave me a tennis ball to use at the Dirty Fest last year. So I'm going to bring my own this year, Mike.
That must have been a heck of a shot to land that thing right in the spokes, though.
Yeah, but it didn't land perfectly. I mean, I had to push it in later, you know, but it stuck in there enough to where, because we were chasing each other and we were playing tag or something, and mm-hmm. I couldn't do anything about it. And then I forgot it was in there, and and I pushed it up in there and kept it.
Yeah. That's kind of
so
cool.
So that's the tennis ball story, yeah. And then,
if we ever get a chance to go riding with Gary, we're putting tennis balls in our spokes.
Yeah, do it.
For sure.
That's what I did. I guess we should talk about America's Got Talent, though, before we
find out. Yeah. We got time. I want to hear about this because I feel like this has been the long tease, right?
So, I guess. Yeah.
Well, this is interesting, man. There's been pictures that are going through the slideshow, but
there's America's Got Talent right there.
Us through this.
So America's Got Talent, people don't know what that is. It's a talent show on what, NBC?
And it's on NBC. It's
like a reality show.
I guess it's kind of reality. Yeah, I guess it could be construed as reality.
Yeah,
but it's kind of like what's that singer show, whatever, I can't remember.
Yeah. American Idol.
American Idol.
Yeah. American Idol, yeah. It's the same guy that produces it, you know.
Okay. So you do a show, they vote on it, people get voted off each week until you get a winner.
Is correct.
The gist of the show. Okay. Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
So how this began, a friend of mine who I met in Germany when I was doing shows back in 2003, he lives here now. He's a globe rider. But he's been on America's Got Talent many times doing a knife throwing act. He has a blonde mohawk. His name is Alfredo Silva. And he throws knives at his girlfriend or wife or whatever.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
And his act is called Deadly Games. So he's pretty savvy with America's Got Talent, and he knows all the people there. And he's always came through for the America's Got Talent people. So he decided, he found out about this America's Got Talent show, Extreme. And of course, he thought, dude, let's do the globe in America's Got Talent Extreme. Let's audition for it. I was like, I'm good. You know, he called me and asked me to do this because he's already thinking of it. And mm-hmm. I was like, no, I don't want to do that. That sounds like work. You know, because thinking there's no way in hell we're going to win, you know, it's not going to come of anything, you know. And plus, I've been trying to retire from performing for like the last 10 years, and people keep dragging me back in, like John Parker, you know, with shows and stuff like that. And I'm so grateful that they do, but here's Alfredo trying to drag me back in, you know. Put him down. Just barely even a conversation. Just said, no, I'm good. And so he called me back and said, dude, I really want to do this, and I really like to have you part of it, because I just can't see doing this without you. I said, honestly, dude, I'm really not interested. He goes, well, what if I paid you to do this? I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, you know, win or lose, I'll pay you, you know, an amount of money, and, you know, just do this for me. I was like, you know, let me think about it. So I thought about it, and while I was thinking about it, I remember, okay, my daughter, she's at the time 17, and she's so completely not impressed with anything I do. You know, she's seen this extreme stuff her whole life. She's met Travis Pastrana. She's met Matt Hoffman. She's been around it. She's seen me in the hospital so many times. You know, just anything extreme to her is like, meh, you know. We go to Supercross and watch, you know, an Anaheim race. It's okay. You know, not impressed, right?
So she's kind of numb to it.
Yeah, I guess so. You could say that.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know what? Maybe if I get on national television, because she goes to a performing arts high school at the time, and every kid in that school watches America's Got Talent. So if I get on national television, maybe it'd be kind of cool for her to say, hey, that's my dad on TV. You know, she'd be proud of me again. So I told Alfredo, I called him up, said, you know what? I'm in. I'm going to do this. You know, if we get on TV, then I'll accomplish my goal. He goes, dude, man, what if we win? I was like, yeah, shut up. Forget it. You know, don't even talk to me about that. That's not going to happen. All right. So let's figure this out. Let's see how we're going to do this. And let's get moving and start painting what we need to paint and start, you know, getting things ready that we need to get ready. Okay. So we do. So we go to Atlanta, Georgia for the first audition. And they shipped everything, you know. Sorry. So we go to Atlanta for the audition. I have this box where I can put the motorcycles in and the tools and everything. It's like a travel box. The globe comes separately. And we get there and we start putting everything together and getting the bikes ready. And there was a COVID scare. Somebody in the crew had COVID. So they shut it down, sent us home. It's like, oh, crap. Oh,
gosh.
2 weeks later, they say, okay, we're back up and running. Okay, great. So they fly us back out there. We do the audition, and they did it at night, and it's humid in Atlanta, Georgia. Super humid. And Billy Harrison lives near the place. So I called him and said, dude, I'm in Atlanta. Come on down. You know, maybe I can get you tickets to see this show. You know, this thing I'm doing. What is it? Ah, it's nothing. It's just America's Got Talent thing. It's, you know, we're just going to ride the globe. You know, if you can make it, great. If not, who cares, you know? Yeah. I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. You know, and he couldn't make it. But tried. And let's see. We do the audition. It's at night, so it's really humid, and we're slipping and sliding inside the globe, you know, trying to get started. The seats are so wet that we're sliding because, you know, I'm wearing, you know, BMX race pants, and they're super slippery when they're wet.
Yeah.
So we were struggling with the audition, but we did it. You know, we got through the audition, and we wound up getting a golden buzzer, which means you go straight to the finals. You don't get eliminated. Yeah. You go straight to the semifinals, rather. Oh, that was a surprise. Okay, crap. You know, I guess we got on television. We were going to get eliminated that day because there was a guy shooting himself 90 feet in the air in a cannon through a fire hoop into a net. It was nuts. there was some crazy acts there. Yeah. So this was all supposed to happen in Atlanta, Georgia, and, you know, the finals and everything. But then they shut down production because an escape artist got hurt real bad. I can't remember his name, but he had two cars on a pendulum, and they were going to come in and crush the cars were going to crush into each other. But he had to escape from a straitjacket before he dropped into an airbag, and he didn't quite make it and got popped sideways and wound up missing the airbag, and he got hurt real bad. I think he's paralyzed now. It's really a bum deal.
Oh.
Anyway, they shut down production in Atlanta, and so we thought the show was over and it was done. But then they started production again 3 months later in Irwindale, California, you know, at the Speedway. So they had some more auditions out there, and the semifinals, And dude, every time we got voted on for something and they told us, okay, if you hear your name and that means you've been eliminated, there's the stairs you go down right there. I was like, what stairs? Okay, well, right there, huh? Okay, that's where we go when we hear our name. Cause I just figured we are done.
Right.
You know, it's over. So we kept getting through. You know, like we made it through these super fans voting and whatnot. And actually, I thought we were way better than this. We're being eliminated. So, man, this is crazy. But also, I had work to do, dude. I had my truck and trailer there full of furniture that I had to deliver in L.A. area. So I was thinking, man, can we just get this over so I can go to work? You know, I just wasn't in it. You know, I just wanted this to be over with because I knew we weren't going to win. Then it gets down to the final two, which is us and Wheels, Aaron Fotheringham.
The guy in the wheelchair?
The kid in the wheelchair for Nitro Circus, right?
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, dude, that's it. We're done. That kid's too awesome. No way are we going to beat this kid.
Right.
On any level. So I guess he, for his final go, he didn't pull his tricks. And it wound up, you know, being good for us because, you know, we pulled our stuff in. Plus, we put four guys in the globe instead of three. And we had more motorcycle riders. We also had a kid. Oh, God. Okay, so from the last episode that we did, mm-hmm. I talked about a guy who helped me get my first job in show business. Ironically, that man's kid was one of our motorcycle riders on a street bike doing tricks. And we found this out during the show. We hired him not knowing that this guy was his son.
Oh, really?
So it was kind of full circle, right?
Wow.
Yeah. That worked out. Anyway, we wound up doing good in our final, and we wound up winning America's Got Talent. And the whole time I was thinking, there's no way we're winning this. And we did. We wound up winning it. So I got a bonus, you know, for winning, and that was it. Yeah, won America's Got Talent.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I never know Amelia, you know, so my daughter, she's impressed now, yeah. But
there you go.
Her school, because they all watched, her entire high school watched this happen, and she was the queen of her high school for the rest of the year.
Oh,
your dad won America's Got Talent, and they would, like, in the show she was doing, the showcases, they would mention it and stuff, and mm-hmm. And so she went from being proud, oh, my dad won America's Got Talent, to oh,
yeah.
My dad won
Mayor's Left Talent. that's sweet, though.
Yeah, it was great. And then even in her shows, like, you know, we can, for shows at her high school, you have an area in the playbook where you can write to the performers, oh, you're going to do big things. You know, the parents, mm-hmm. you know, buy a little spot. So we bought one. And we said something about, you're the, out of all the daughters in the world, you're definitely one of them. And don't forget to watch your dad on America's Got Talent. And of course, the people receiving this message, they're laughing their ass off. This is the best one ever, because everybody else is all heartfelt, like, you're going to do wonderful things. You're such a talent. You know, all this crap.
And we
did that.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, that was quite a journey, and I wound up really been a good time, and I'm glad I did it.
Well, so kind of before we wrap up, though, you still ride, right?
Oh, yeah.
And our mountain bike, BMX, you're doing it all, right? You're kind of back to riding.
Yeah, my ribs are healed now enough to mm-hmm. where I can ride everything. There's still a little weirdness, but for the most part, I can pretty much do what I want now. Yeah.
Nice. Right.
So I'm back on the mountain bike. I'm back at the BMX track. Mm-hmm. I'm back riding flatland. Oh, and I'm going to do a contest. There's a contest here in Vegas. Was that April? Oh, shoot. When is that? April 6th. Flatland contest. Pro level, apparently. The American Flatland League is putting on a contest here in Vegas. April 6th. So I'm going to enter that.
Let us know how you do.
We watch
it. I know I'm going to suck, but I don't care because I haven't been riding much. And I went and did a session last Saturday, and I did better than I thought I would, but I'm still way off my pace.
Are you?
We'll be cheering for you.
Thanks.
Any? Have they still got you doing shows? Are they still pulling?
I still get the calls. Like John Parker asked me to do a show in a few weekends,
mm-hmm.
and I already made a commitment to go mountain biking with some friends, and also BMX race the day before. So I just, my fun time on my bike is real precious to me, and I want to keep that going.
Okay. Now, I do have to comment on your scene where you're at. A couple years ago, Melissa and I went out to the Vegas National, and our friend Len took us around. We had a late flight out, and he took us around to some of the spots, and unbelievable the amount of skate parks, the pump tracks, and you know, Len rides everything. So as we were going from here to there, he's like, oh yeah, there's awesome mountain bike trails there. There's road bike stuff here and that. And
it's growing.
Yeah. We went to the one, you might know the name. It's in a lot of the videos. It's like where all the pros ride, but we pull up and I was like, well, is it closed? None of the lights are on. It is a public park. And he goes, no, you just go down and hit a button and turn the lights on.
Yeah. It's YMCA does that.
Yep. And we rode a couple other ones, and one of the parks is in the intro of the show. It's edited in there from behind the handlebars. I put it in there when we
really okay.
The, yeah, Len can tell you Pro Park. That was one of them. Len, what was the park we hung out at the longest? He'll put it in the chat, and I'll let you know. But anyway, the scene there is amazing. You guys got some awesome tracks and amazing places to ride too. So gosh,
yeah, we've got like four BMX tracks, all these like 43 skate parks. that's why Planet Plywood couldn't survive after the fifth one, it was over, you know. We have a lot of, and then mountain biking, dude, they're building more trails out here, mountain biking too.
Len said he took me to Craig Ranch Pro Park in Durango, and man, every one of them, I think it was Durango's
the YMCA, I believe. Yeah.
Okay, we're sitting there and Melissa goes, hey, look over there, and there's a food truck, and it was a Detroit food truck.
Okay.
We're all the way there.
In Las Vegas?
In Vegas, Detroit. This food truck pulled up, is all decked out with Detroit on it. It was funny. But just amazing. You guys got a great scene there, and you guys have such legendary people that reside there and live there, like you're one of them.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but blessed. Yeah. So it's going to be hard for me to ever live anywhere else when I can ride. Definitely. Anything and everything here. Yeah. You know, it's really, like I said, it's so precious to me. Any the fun time on my bike.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Tracer and I, we do some mountain biking. As far as the dirt jumping and stuff like that, I've slowed down on that. Mm-hmm. But Ricardo Laguna is building a new house, and he's already built dirt jumps there, which I went and sessioned once. And they're smaller, which I'm like, thank you for building them a little user friendly, you know. Right. So that's going to be a fun time over there.
Oh, that's so great. Cool.
I want to thank you for being patient when we had our little hiccup on the last.
Pleasure. No, not at all. Don't thank me. Yeah.
No. We appreciate your time, and it's great talking with you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
We could go again.
We will.
Yeah.
Before we do that, though, we got to let everyone know who our guest is next week.
All right. Next week, we're going to have Carly Kane. Carly Kane. We're going to find out about Huffy and their return to BMX racing.
They're doing it. Okay.
Yeah.
So we checking out here.
Got our
Carly.
Live the ride.
Yeah. So Carly Kane.
I was actually down at Ray's a few weeks ago, and I met Huck. He rides for him. He's this 9-year-old kid that looks like he's playing a video game in real life. He's such a good rider. And his dad put us in contact. We're actually working out some details to actually bring Huffy on the show and let them tell the story of how they're getting back in. So we're looking forward to that. And Carly's been off racing the World Cups and training and all kinds of stuff.
Carly's one of our, I guess you'd say, like, friend of the show. She's been on a couple of times. And
she's been on before. Cool.
We did a clinic with her. Was it Toledo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Toledo. It's in,
That was cool. She's a good kid. So.
Hardly a kid.
Well,
she's a kid.
She's BMX, man. We're all good kids.
We're all kids. Right. Melissa, what do you got back there for, we got No? All right. Got a good check in there. Good to know. Len, she just said no. Nope.
Nobody's there. Who cares?
Nobody. Len actually corrected me. So we were at the Craig's Ranch. It was Detroit Ice Cream, which, again,
okay.
It was still wild.
Whatever, Detroit.
It turned around and it's like, no shit.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
That was pretty
That's
cool.
Wild that you see something Detroit and Vegas like that. That's
telling
cool.
You, every park out of the three we went to, and he was showing me other ones, like every one of them is top notch.
Yeah.
And amazing. I was like, God, and like one of them, I think we just run around the block to it.
And really? Like, they're like right there. Boom, 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 boom.
I feel like we left Craig Ranch and we went over to the Durango, or I could have them wrong, but it doesn't matter. They were just a few blocks away. I was like, holy shit. Like
they're everywhere, dude. They're everywhere.
Coolest,
could you actually ride from one?
You
to
could
the
have. Yeah. But the coolest part, man, wherever, well, at least where we were at, wherever we were riding, I just sit and look, and there's the strip, you know, off in the distance. Like, what a cool.
Oh yeah. That sounds awesome.
Then you look that way, and it's the mountain, the strip, the mountain. It's such a rad place. Yeah.
I've got a good view from my house. I can see the mountain where I go mountain biking right from my driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can see the strip from my living room. It's a really good spot.
Yeah, that's
nice, man.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
And again, you know, thanks again for with the internet hiccup. The problem we found out was Chris wasn't wearing the Xfinity shirt on the bro deal he got for the internet. So, you know, that's what happened. So
that was it. Yeah.
I'm wearing a John Parker t-shirt.
The Stuntmasters. There it is.
Hey, all right. Yeah.
There we are.
Yeah.
Well, again, you know, everyone, thanks for tuning in tonight. We really appreciate it. We had a great time. Again, Gary, it's always fun hanging out. Look forward to having you on again already, all right?
Can I say
something? Right on. Oh, wait, no questions from Chris?
No. Nope, Melissa?
I just thank you, Brian, for reminding me. I just wanted to send out a special. We're thinking about you, Paul. He lost his mom very recently, so... We just wanted to say from all of us that you're in our thoughts and prayers, and we're so sorry for your loss.
Yes. Yeah. Paul Remington, one of our local guys here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he helps with the show when he can. He's
I'm sorry, you guys.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
He runs, he helps run Richfield Park BMX and announcer up there, helps run the track, does a lot of stuff, helps us out, and gets the sound
good
working
dude.
Here when he can. Yeah.
And I believe the services are Saturday.
Yep.
Check him out on Facebook.
Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a viewing, I believe, Friday, and then the service on Saturday.
Yep. All right.
So, yeah, anybody local wants to check that out?
Yeah. We'll wrap it up, man.
Yeah.
All right. It's good talking to you guys.
Yeah.
Likewise.
Thanks, Gary.
Yeah, thank you, Gary.
Thank you. Sure. Really, always a pleasure. I was so excited to do this. But please don't apologize for the internet. That's way out of everybody's control.
Yeah.
No. That's
why we got it done, dude. And not linger so much on some of the stories, because I know we went long last time.
It's all right.
It's fine. That's what we're here for.
We got more to talk about next time. Now,
yeah,
just got more.
You guys.
I didn't talk about the U. I forgot about that. We'll get that next time.
There we are.
Yep.
All right.
There's a tease for the next one.
You guys, we'll see you next week with Carly Canes.
Yeah, so I was gonna say Carly Canes next week. Everybody, like and subscribe, all that fun stuff. We'll see you next Wednesday. God bless you. Have a great night.